Amen. And our reading for today is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, and to another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you would bring insight, revelation, transformation, and understanding now. Come, Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord, that you are the healer, and that you still heal today. Draw near to us now, Lord. Come with healing risen in your wings. We love you, Jesus, and we long to love you and know you more. Amen. Amen. Well, happy new year again, everyone. It's really lovely to be back together. I'm not sure what day of the week it is. Apparently tomorrow is Monday. Anyone else kind of lost track of the days over this period? Yes, not just me. That's good. Well, today is a good day, not just because we're back together again at Emmanuel, but because today marks the launch of our new teaching series here at Emmanuel. You'll have to forgive me for the lack of slides and visuals this morning. Time got the better of me this last week. But today is the beginning of our new teaching series at Emmanuel called Eagerly Desire. Eagerly Desire. And over the month of January, over this month, we're going to be reminding ourselves of Paul's command in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. You might have to look this up if you have a Bible. This is 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Paul writes this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I'll read that again. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, there are all kinds of things that we eagerly desire. I don't know about you, you might have been eagerly desiring rest over the Christmas period. You might have been eagerly desiring your family to arrive and then for them to leave also. You might have been eagerly desiring, as we do in my family, the next episode of the new series of Traitors. Anyone else eagerly desire that to come around? No, a few dirty looks from people at the front. There are all kinds of things that we eagerly desire. And yet here we have Paul saying, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Who here had gifts of the Spirit on their Christmas wish list? Anyone? Santa, I've been good this year. I would love to receive gifts of the Spirit. And this month in our teaching series, we're going to be focusing in on three particular gifts of the Spirit especially. And these three gifts are mentioned in the reading from 1 Corinthians 12 that Simon just read. These are the gifts of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and our focus for today, the gift of healing. And I've chosen to zoom in on these three gifts specifically for two main reasons. First of all, because I believe unapologetically that these gifts are vital to the life of God's church. These gifts are key to the life of God's church. And we must receive them for what they are. They are gifts given to us. We must receive them as gifts. We must not fear them. And the second reason for choosing to focus in on these three gifts of prophecy, tongues, and healing is this. There is all kinds of nonsense out there in the church about spiritual gifts. There is all kind of nonsense out there that can even be harmful or dangerous when it comes to unhelpful teaching in the church concerning spiritual gifts. And it's vital that we have a healthy understanding of these gifts that we've been called to eagerly desire. For they must be good, right? God's not going to tell us to eagerly desire something that's bad. Why would he? These are good gifts, and we must receive them as such. And so as we think about this completely non-contentious subject of healing in our time together this morning, there are two things I want to say. First of all, when we think about healing, the first thing I want to say is this. Every single one of us in this room, as well as those who are not here today, will carry various kinds of pain, trauma, unanswered prayer, unanswered questions when it comes to the subject of healing. Healing is a deeply sensitive subject. And therefore, when we explore it, when we teach on it, we must treat it as such. The second thing I want to say when it comes to the whole area of healing is this. It's vital that we build and develop a biblically grounded, biblically informed, healthy, and Christ-like understanding of healing. And not only this, it's essential that we are those who demonstrate and who model good practice when it comes to praying for healing. I said there were two things, I lied. There were three things. The third thing I want to say is this. I believe unapologetically that Jesus heals. I believe this with all my being, that Jesus healed every single person who was brought to him of every kind of sickness and disease, and that Jesus still heals today. I have all kinds of pain in the subject of healing. I have unanswered questions. I have trauma when people have not been healed that are dear to me. But I believe that Jesus heals. And I believe he still heals today. And I think one of the primary challenges for us when it comes to thinking about this massive subject of healing is that if you're anything like me, you can have this tendency to want to have everything figured out. You want to have a kind of formulaic approach to healing, to seeing someone healed. If A happens and then B happens, then C will automatically result. Anyone else relate to that? Anyone else look for this kind of foolproof, formulaic approach to healing? And as nice as this would be, the reality of our lives, the reality of those things that we've experienced, the pain of unanswered prayer and loss, underline the trickiness and the difficulty of such an approach. Life tells us, our experience tells us, that healing doesn't always happen. I also want to suggest another problem with this foolproof, formulaic approach to healing, which is this. The moment any of us manage to neatly reduce God to fit into a conveniently ordered box of our own making, he ceases to be God. We need to be careful that we are not returning the favor. We need to be careful that we're not making God in our image. Why doesn't God fit conveniently into this box? My brilliant personal theology, where I've got everything figured out. I can explain the problem of evil, why there's suffering in the world, why so-and-so wasn't healed, why so-and-so had to die. What's wrong with that? Why can't I just have everything neatly figured out? Because God is far more powerful, far more wonderful, far more radiant, far more glorious, far more mysterious than any of us can fathom. We need to make sure we're not making God in our image. And so this morning, I just want to share briefly a few key thoughts around healing. And I share these in the hope that these will be helpful for us as well as practical as we live as followers of Jesus. The first thing I want to say is we look to Jesus for our model for healing, which, by the way, is the right thing to do. Not Glenn Hoddle or his faith healer many years ago. Not all the things that society would tell you can heal you. Actually, we need to look to Jesus for our model for healing. And as we do this, one of the first things we notice when we read Scripture is that Jesus never condemns those who are afflicted or unwell. And we must not do the same. Jesus never condemns those who are unwell or afflicted, and we must never do this either. I cannot tell you how much it pains me as a leader, as a pastor in God's church, when the church says things along the lines of, you weren't healed because of your lack of faith. It's so damaging. It's toxic. I would go as far as to say, as that kind of theology is abusive. Jesus never condemns someone for being unwell or afflicted, and we must never do the same. Now, that's not to say that faith doesn't play a role in healing. I really believe it does. But we must not condemn people for being unwell. Second reflection on healing is that it is God who heals and not us. It's God who heals and not us. And don't get me wrong, God has blessed us with many means and pathways of healing. Medicine, the skills of medical professionals and practitioners, surgeons, doctors, nurses, consultants, and the like. I believe these are all things through which God heals. Counseling, therapy. These are all things that God works through to bring healing to us, but ultimately it is God who heals and not us. Anyone here on their social media handles or on their LinkedIn page have healer written? I would suggest it's probably not the way to go. God heals and not us. None of us, no matter how much we want to, none of us can guarantee when we pray for a person that they will be healed. None of us can guarantee this. But what we can guarantee and what we should guarantee is that a person feels honored and loved and respected and treated with inherent worth and dignity and respect whenever we pray for them. We can guarantee that. And the church should be a place that guarantees that. And sadly, it isn't always. However, all that being said, I do want to say categorically today, in the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom of God. And my belief is this, and I've come to this belief over a number of years, is that in the kingdom of God, the good news is that healing is guaranteed. Healing is guaranteed in the kingdom of God. But for some, that healing won't take place this side of eternity. Healing is guaranteed in the kingdom of God, but for some, that healing does not take place this side of eternity. If you have a Bible, open it to Revelation 21. Beautiful, beautiful passage in Scripture. John's vision of the new heavens, the new earth, the heavenly city. And whenever we think about healing, I find these verses incredibly helpful to hold on to. This is Revelation 21:4. John writes this, that when the new heaven and the new earth are established, this means that there'll be a day where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. We might want to insert no more cancer, no more dementia, no more chronic or terminal illness, for the old order of things will have passed away. That's the hope, friends, that we have in Jesus. That a day is coming where there'll be no more death, no more tears, no more illness, no more aches and pains when we wake up in the morning. In the kingdom of God, healing is always guaranteed, but for some, that healing will not take place this side of eternity. The next thing I want to say is this. It's important for us to remember that there are many kinds of healing. There are many kinds of healing. In the church, we tend to get quite fixated on physical healing. Partly, I imagine, because it's one of the most tangible ones we can measure. Oh, I came to church with a shooting pain in my knee, and now it's gone. Praise God. But there are many kinds of healing. And I believe God is deeply interested in healing in numerous ways. As well as physical healing, there's inner healing. There's emotional healing. There's all kinds of healing that can take place at a deep spiritual unseen level, and it's good for us to remember this. And healing normally always involves at least one of the following: the mind, the body, the emotions, and the spirit. Healing will usually always involve one of those things: the mind, the body, the emotions, the spirit. But not all healing is physical healing. We also need to remember that prayer ministry is not counseling. Otherwise, Grant and his team would be charging us 50 quid a session. Prayer ministry is not counseling. Prayer ministry is not therapy. It's easy to get this confused in the church. It's easy to come up to someone, ask for prayer, and expect them to sort everything out in that moment. But there are so many times in ministry when we're praying for someone, when we're in relationship and community with someone, that it's absolutely right for us to signpost that person to the professional support agencies that exist for them. We are not counselors. We are not social services. But we can signpost people to further support when we discern that this might be needed. When we pray for healing, we must remember that some healing is immediate. Some healing happens there and then. But as we read the Bible, we see also that some healing is partial or delayed. In Mark 8:24, we have the example of the blind man at Bethsaida, whose sight was not fully restored immediately. You remember Jesus spits mud, rubs it in the blind man's eye, says, "Do you see? What do you see?" He says, "I see kind of blurry shapes, people that look like trees." He wasn't immediately and instantly healed on that first attempt. his sight was not fully restored immediately. So sometimes healing will be immediate, sometimes healing will be partial or delayed. And sometimes there'll be no visible sign of healing whatsoever. That's really helpful for church metrics. Sometimes we won't even have any idea whatsoever that healing has taken place. But friends, remember, it's God who heals and not us. Next reflection. When we pray for healing, it's good practice and wise to keep it simple. Or in my case, to keep it simple, stupid. Pray with gentle authority. God's not looking for long, elaborate prayers. We're not trying to impress God and showing him that we've memorized the thesaurus or the dictionary. God is looking for simple, faith-filled prayers. So when we pray for healing, a prayer like this can be really helpful. Knee, be healed in the name of Jesus. Back pain, go in the name of Jesus. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be long-winded or elaborate. We pray with a gentle authority and a gentle childlike trust and faith in the name of Jesus. It's also good to keep it short. And I would say this is good advice generally when we pray, to keep our prayers short. Jesus did not give us a healing instruction manual or some kind of instruction book about how we are to pray for healing. Jesus actually prayed in all kinds of different ways, but he rarely, if ever, used long, elaborate prayers. This is a challenge to those of us who like the sound of our own voice. We are to pray and keep it short and keep it simple. The next reflection on healing. When we read scripture, we see that Jesus often speaks directly to the issue or to the condition itself and commands healing. For example, Mark 7:34 says this, Jesus looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, this is the deaf and mute man, Ephphatha, which means be opened. Tell you what Jesus didn't do. Oh, Heavenly Father, if it's your will, please would you, if you wouldn't mind awfully, would you think about maybe making this person better if you've got the time or the inclination to do that? God, that would be great. Thanks ever so much. That's not what Jesus does. He speaks directly to the condition. He commands healing. And then the final and probably most important reflection of all when it comes to healing and to praying for healing is this. We must remember to love. We must remember to love. Compassion is essential. Look back at 1 Corinthians 14:1. I know that's not our reading for today. We're hopping around all over the place. 1 Corinthians 14:1, where we've stolen this eagerly desire phrase for our teaching series. What is it that Paul says to the believers in Corinth before telling them to eagerly desire spiritual gifts? What does he say? He says, follow the way of love. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. They're deeply linked. You can't eagerly desire spiritual gifts but reject the way of love. Well, you can, and sadly the church does this, but that's not what we're called to do. Follow the way of love first and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. We must remember to love. When praying for someone, when praying for healing, compassion, love is vital. And I also want to say this, as a fully paid up charismatic Pentecostal in lots of my theology and spirituality, we are always to prioritize loving people and we are not to obsess over the spectacular. We're always to prioritize loving people and we are not to obsess over the spectacular. We're not to become obsessed with the pursuit of the spectacular. Jesus doesn't say, follow signs, wonders, miracles. He says, follow me. Jesus doesn't say, seek ye first an incredible conference where there's all kinds of healing and people are clucking like chickens and swinging from the chandeliers. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And one of the problems that creeps into the charismatic church is that we so often emphasize the power of God, which is good, which is right. But how often do we emphasize the gentleness of God? How often do we emphasize his tenderness, his compassion? We know that we can quench the Spirit. We're told not to quench the Spirit in the New Testament. The implication there, you don't need to be a rocket scientist, is that we can quench the Spirit. Why? Because God is gentle. He does not force himself on us. We can resist his Spirit. But we're not called to do that. Why? Because we're called to follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. To receive them as the good gifts that they are. So let's always keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's always follow the way of love. Let's not become obsessed with the pursuit of the spectacular. Signs and wonders are incredible. And I've seen many by the grace of God in my own life. But they're not what we're called to go after. First, we are called to go after Jesus. And to seek first his kingdom. And all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the song. I've said it already and I'll say it again. We cannot guarantee that a person will be healed when we are praying for them. But we can guarantee and we should guarantee that a person feels loved and honored. And I felt God say to me and challenge me personally, I wonder if this is a word for us or for some of us here today. Does God need to renew? Does God need to bring healing to the way that you view one another? Maybe even yourself. Are you in conflict with someone here? Do you look on a brother or sister here, maybe even in this room, with anything other than love? Actually, perhaps God is wanting to heal the way that we see one another. Perhaps he's wanting to heal the way that we look at one another. And the final thing I want to say, which is a disingenuous line that preachers always say, because it rarely is the final thing that they want to say. But the final thing that I want to say this morning is that it's important to be honest. It's important to be honest when we think about healing. It's important to be honest about the fact that whilst we believe or may believe in a God who heals today, as I do, I believe that God heals today. So often our lived experience says otherwise. So often our lived experience does not reflect this reality. This is a very real tension. Anyone else relate to this tension? Give us a wave. It's a tangible tension. It's what theologians, if we're doing a bit of theology, it's what theologians call the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. What do they mean by this, the now and the not yet? Well, in other words, the kingdom of God has come, but the kingdom of God is also still advancing. The kingdom of God has come, and the kingdom of God is still advancing. Sometimes we see people healed. Sometimes we don't. And we need to be honest about this. And personally, I have seen some remarkable healings in my life. I have seen deaf ears opened. I've been in services and gatherings and meetings where I've seen someone deaf for over 20 years stamp on their hearing aids and able to hear. I've seen people healed in worship as we've pressed into the presence of God, as we've sung, as we've enjoyed his presence with us. I've seen people healed in all kinds of remarkable physical ways during worship in the presence of God. I have seen remarkable healings. There was a year at New Wine where people saw legs growing. That was an interesting summer. People that had a slight difference with the length of their legs that caused them a lot of discomfort and caused issues with hips and mobility. People physically seeing legs growing as they prayed for healing. I've seen all kinds of amazing and wonderful healings, which is why I believe God still heals today. But I've also seen unanswered prayer. I carry pain when it comes to the area of healing. A really dear friend of mine and Sarah's, I led worship at her wedding. She was 21 when she got married. She was someone that I used to mentor. She was a young worship leader at a previous church. 6 months later, I led worship at her funeral. I remember being at her hospital bed, singing, sobbing, singing songs of worship on the guitar at her bedside, prophesying, speaking her healing, declaring her healing. But she died. For some, healing will not happen this side of eternity. My own dad, who I've spoken about a few times, a few years ago, 4 years ago, died of COVID in the pandemic. He became nonverbal in an instant, this larger-than-life character with a big, bushy beard and an even bigger belly. Was rendered nonverbal, clean-shaven, fitted with a ventilator and a breathing mask. Should have only lived for 3 days from the point he went into hospital. Fought for 3.5 weeks. And then he died. And it was agony. I was meant to see him, and I tested positive for COVID on the day I was meant to see him. So I couldn't see him. Praise God for the wonders of technology, for FaceTime and video calling. The Ashes was happening at the time. England were getting battered like usual, so Dad wasn't missing much there. But it was an amazing time. It was a deeply painful, traumatic time. There were words given to us about his healing. We were praying for his healing. Some days the doctors would give us hope. Oh, it seems like things are improving. Other days, hope disappeared. And he wasn't healed this side of eternity. All of us in this room will have similar examples, similar stories of loss, of bereavement, of times when healing prayers were not answered before our eyes, of times where God seemed distant, where God felt silent, where all we had were unanswered questions and pain. And it's good to be honest about this. It might shock you to know I don't have all the answers. I don't have everything figured out. In fact, I'd be as bold as suggest that none of us do. But I do know that we can trust God. I do know that he is good. I do know that he is kind. He is faithful. And he heals today just as he's always healed. Because why? Because God is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, if he healed then, he heals today, because God has not changed. And so I'm going to finish now, and as I finish this morning, what's really on my heart is that in these 10 or so minutes before children are collected, is that we move into an extended time of worship and prayer ministry. I've got some anointing oil with me. It's frankincense and myrrh, which felt like we're hanging on to the festive season. But it's often an oil that's used for healing. And I would love to anoint anyone that would like prayer for healing. I'd also love us to, everyone gets to play the John Wimber thing. I'd also love us to pray for one another. So I was going to invite people forward. I felt the Lord say not to do that. I felt the Lord say that for us to turn to someone near us. And if we would like prayer for healing, to pray for one another. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite Peter and Jordan to come up. They're going to lead us in some worship. If you don't want to be prayed for, can I just encourage you to press into worship, to make this a holy moment? If you would like prayer for healing, then I'm going to encourage you just to raise a hand in a moment, not now. You don't have to say what it is. You don't have to spill your NHS records to the person near you. But if you would like prayer for healing, whether that's emotional, inner, spiritual, physical, whatever form of healing that is, then in a moment I'm going to ask you to raise a hand, and I'm going to ask those around those people to ask if they can pray for them. And you also are going to ask church, because we're going to model good practice, is it okay to place a hand on you? It might be that it is okay if the area, it might be a sore shoulder or a sore knee, that's okay. If it's something more intimate or personal, obviously we're not going to lay hands, but we are going to pray for one another, and we're going to pray for God to heal. And all we need to say is, Jesus, heal. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. Be well in the name of Jesus. And those of you who've done the Alpha Course, there's a great John Wimber line on the Alpha Course where he says, when I prayed for no one to be healed, no one was healed. When I prayed for lots of people to be healed, some were healed. So that's what we're going to do together this morning. But before we do that, I just want to read some verses from Scripture to us. And it might be you want to make a note of these references. I'll give you the references, because these are really good verses to put on your fridge, to put on your desk, to come back to when you're kind of questioning God's care for you, when you're questioning whether he's interested in what you're feeling and carrying, when you're questioning whether he wants to heal you. These are some beautiful promises and assurances from Scripture. So receive these as gifts from God. James 5:16 says this. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's James 5:16. Next, Psalm 41:3. The Lord sustains those on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness. The Lord sustains those on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness. Psalm 147:3. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And then Matthew 4:23-24 says this. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And Jesus healed them. Friends, God is healer. He's the great physician, and he's here now with the power to heal. I really believe this. I believe that God is here now with us, and that he wants to bring healing, and that he is able to heal just as he's always been. And my prayer for myself and for each of us is that we would grow in trust and in faith and in confidence in the goodness and the healing power of God. Amen. Amen. So we're going to move into a time of ministry now. Peter, feel free to start leading us in worship. If you would like prayer for healing, any form of healing, then can I ask you to do a brave thing and just to raise a hand where you are? And keep that hand high. Keep that hand high if you would like prayer for healing. Brilliant. Thank you. I see those hands. And if those around, those with their hands raised, if you could just gather around and begin just to pray for healing. You can ask the person what it is they want healing for, and if they're comfortable to share that with you, then they can, but they don't have to. And we're just going to pray simple, short prayers, healing in the name of Jesus.